السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, the world over we hear the continuous cry for leadership. Humanity is in need of leadership. The ummah is in need of leadership. The country is in need of leadership. Communities are in need of leadership. Even households are in need of leadership. I want to pick up a verse pertaining to the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, which we recited in last night's Taraweeh Salah, which talked to us about the true qualities of a leader. After Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed Musa alayhi salatu wassalam with nubuwah. Now just imagine this for the moment. The greatest position that any human can ever achieve is the position of nubuwah and prophethood. Because now you are a direct recipient of wahi and revelation from Allah. But as soon as Musa alayhi salatu wassalam receives this revelation, he makes this dua. Before I go into the dua, I just want to make one point about leadership. Leadership is not only relevant for those people who lead on a very high level. Political leaders or provincial leaders. In many ways, almost every one of us is a leader. As a parent, you are a leader of your household. As a teacher, you are a leader in your classroom. As an imam, you are a leader of your congregation. As a committee member, you are a leader of an institute. As a boss and employer, you are a leader in your business. So when we talk about leadership, it's not only about those on the very top levels of political leadership or institutional leadership. Each one of us in some way or the other, at some time or the other, we are expected to show the qualities of a true leader. Now let's look at this dua of Musa alayhi salam. It's a famous dua of the Quran, but it has such profound and such great lessons. The first thing that Musa alayhi salam does when he receives nubuwa, he says, "Oh Allah, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي." Oh Allah, expand my chest and make my task easy for me. The scholars of tafsir have written that many times when you get a position, it immediately goes to your head. You feel, right, I'm the man. I get it, no khakre. I got that position. I always wanted it. Now I got it. Let me show the people who's boss. This is a man who was expelled by Pharaoh. Pharaoh sent an entire army out for him. He was in exile. Now that he got nubuwah, he could have puffed out his chest and said, right, Ekhan hala vase, let me go now and show them that I am Allah's man. Allah has sent me. No. Look at the humility. Rabbi shrah li sadri. When you get leadership, you're getting added responsibility. All the more need for you now to turn to Allah. As a parent, when you get the child, you're happy on the one hand, you've now become a parent, but now your relationship with Allah has to strengthen because you have greater responsibility. So Allah, expand my chest, meaning, O Allah, enable me to discharge my responsibilities. Give me that conviction of purpose. Give me the necessary skills. Give me the right temperament. Remember what we spoke about the other night, bil hikmah. Give me that wisdom and that emotional intelligence. Wa yassir li amri. And O Allah, you make my task easy for me. A beautiful dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Allahumma altuf bina fi taysir kulli asir. Fa inna taysir kulli asirin alayka yasir. Oh Allah, you make every difficult task for us easy. Because difficulty for you to turn it into easy is easy for you. Nothing is too difficult for you, oh Allah. So the first lesson we learn, a leader, a true leader, he always turns to Allah. He never depends on himself. He never gets an inflated ego and starts to think that he's achieved or he's excelled. Whatever good happens, oh Allah, it's by your mercy. I still need you, my Allah. The more I achieve, the higher I go, the more I need you. So he turns to Allah with utmost humility. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. The more your business grows, the more your institution grows, the more your family grows, the more you need to turn to Allah. Then the next point in this dua of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي. Oh Allah, take that knot off my tongue. It's a famous story. We know Musa alayhi salam, in his infancy, he picked up the coal and he put it in his mouth. So he had a stutter. So he said, Oh Allah, remove the stutter from my speech. And here the scholars have written something phenomenal. They say a true leader understands his weaknesses more than he understands his strengths. You and I, we are ready to advertise and to emphasize our strengths. But we don't want to admit our weaknesses to ourselves, let alone to anyone else. But the hallmark of a true leader, he's more in tune with his weaknesses than he is in tune with his strengths. So immediately, I mean, this man has just received nubuwwah. I recited those verses last night. What beautiful verses. Allah says, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Musa alayhi salam went looking for fire, and now he's alone, and Allah calls out to him. Allah calls out to him. Allah says, I have chosen you, now listen to what I'm going to reveal to you. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. I am Allah. There is none worthy of worship besides me. فَعْبُدْنِي. Now worship me. And after giving him nubuwwah, Allah tells him, right, throw down your stick, it turns into a serpent. Take out your hand from under your shoulder, it turns into a bright light. At that moment, any human can get lost in the privilege and the honor. You're talking to Allah. Allah is showing you miracles. But look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Focused. That's the hallmark of a true leader. At that moment, he's thinking of his weakness. وَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي. Oh Allah, in order for me to be effective in this mission of nubuwwah, people need to understand me. So remove that stutter from my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So that people can understand my speech. Here the scholars write, there's an indication of sincerity. Musa alayhi salam is not saying, oh Allah, remove the stutter from my speech so I can be known as a good orator. So I can blow people away with my oratory skills. No, no. Oh Allah, give me that eloquence on tongue so that I can fulfill my mission. So that I can do my job, the job that you have given me. That's the sincerity of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh Allah, I want that power of speech, not because I want to utilize it in any particular way, so that I can do what you want me to do. So, the first thing we learn from the leadership of Musa alayhi salam, turning to Allah. The second thing, acknowledging your limitations. The third thing, the ability to communicate effectively. Now look at the next part of the dua of Musa alayhi salam, and this is wow. He says, وَجَعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. You know, these days, you have a car, you're selfish with it. If a man buys a brand new car, he doesn't even give his son. Not even his wife. Icon, are you going to scratch my car? I'll buy you another one, but you don't drive my car. And that's an ordinary thing of this dunya. Ordinary thing. I mean, I also have it. We all like that. If I have an expensive pen, and the lighty comes there, Baba, borrow me your pen. I say, no, go take your mother's pen. Don't take my pen. It's mine. This is something exclusive. It's for me. But look at Musa alayhi salam. Allah has granted him nubuwwah. The greatest position that can be granted to any human. He says, oh Allah, grant my brother Harun the same, make him also a Nabi. Grant my brother Harun the same, make him also a Nabi. Why? Huwa afsahu minni lisanan. Allah, for me to win over the Banu Israel, I need to be strong at communication. I know I'm weak in communication. My brother is a good communicator. Give him the same privilege and honor you've given me so we can get the job done. Today, the greatest weakness of leaders, no, I'll do everything. I'll do everything. Why? I don't want to share my profile with anybody else. I don't want anybody to come close to where I am. So even though I know I can't do something, I won't admit it, let alone ask for somebody else to help me with it, because I don't want anyone to come close to my kursi. No one must come close to my chair. So a teacher is not willing to admit that, you know, yeah, I'm struggling. A parent is not willing to understand that maybe, yeah, I need some help. A boss is not willing to accept that maybe the employee is right. But look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. Allah, make my brother Harun a Nabi as well. This is what you call empowerment. Today the world wants to teach us about empowerment. I went to a conference, Black Management Forum, and I quoted the same example to them. I said, the greatest lesson of empowerment is what we saw from Musa to Harun alayhi salam. The greatest dua that one human made for another human is this dua. Because there can be no position greater than that of nubuwwah. Empowerment. True leaders create leaders who are better than them. You know, I read a quote. They say, if you die, and people say that no one can fill his shoes, that's not a compliment, it's an insult. It's not a compliment, it's an insult. Because it means you never train somebody to do the job at least equal to you, if not better than you. True leaders are those who create leaders who can do the job better than they can. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously nobody could do it better than the Nabi of Allah. But look at how he trained Sahaba. He took the African slave Bilal radiallahu anhu and turned him into the first Muaddin of Islam. Umar bin Khattab. Today, Orientalists write and they say the world needs another Umar. Non-Muslim historians will tell you this world needs another Umar. Yet Umar used to say, you know, in my childhood, I was so useless. I was so a swak. I couldn't even look after one flock of sheep properly. But once I came under the training of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Nabi of Allah trained me in such a way. He trained me in such a way that I reached a position where the Nabi of Allah said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيًّا لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ. If there was to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. If there was to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. So that's empowerment. وَجَعَلِّي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. A true leader is one who can take whatever he has and transfer it to the next. A true teacher is that one who will want to see his students surpass him. A true father or mother is that one who will want to see their child surpass them. A true boss is that one who will say, let me learn so one day you can do better than me. Not that let me keep you stupid so that you are forever in need of me. You're forever in need of me. You mustn't one day go and start your own business. Why? Sustenance comes from Allah. Live and let live. A true leader is one who allows others to grow. And then he says, the last point that we learn from here, هارون أخش دد به أزري. Oh Allah, let him share in my responsibility. Delegation. We struggle with this. Many of us are well-intended, we are sincere, but we don't know how to delegate. You know, the father will say, that son of mine is useless, man. This techno generation, what they know? Nothing. They haven't done an honest day's work in their life. They only know how to push the button with their thumbs. That's all they know. So what happens? The father wants to do everything himself. He's growing gray. His back is hunching. His diabetes is through the roof. His blood pressure is skyrocketing. But he wants to do everything himself because he's got no confidence in nobody. You were not perfect. You also made mistakes. But your father allowed you to make those mistakes so that you could learn and you can grow. You have so much or so little confidence in the current generation. Musa alayhi salam understood, I can't do everything by myself. A true leader understands, I must look for the positive in everyone. Everyone has got some skill or the other that they can bring to the table. Let's pool it and we grow together. That's the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the sunnah that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us. You know, a few points on leadership before I proceed. Just a few random quotes. They say, the difference between a leader and a ruler. We must aspire to be leaders, not rulers. The one difference is, a leader emerges among people, a ruler campaigns amongst people. A leader naturally emerges as a leader. Why? Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. He's a servant leader. He is seen by people as a leader because he's dedicated to serving them. A leader derives his appeal from humility. A ruler derives his appeal from superiority. A leader shows undying concern. A ruler demands, Anbi, you're going to kill yourself. You're so worried about these people that they're not becoming believers. I'll quote one more verse in this regard. Allah says a famous verse, the concluding verses of Surah At-Tawbah. This tells us about a true leader. A true leader is not only the person who wants to sit on the position. A true leader is a person who, when he sits on that position, he has concern for everyone over whom he rules. For every employee in that business. For every student in that class. For every child in that house. For every member in that community. Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. A Nabi has come to you, O Arabs, from amongst you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Whatever difficulty you go through, it hurts him. That's a true leader. Whatever difficulty the people that you lead over go through, it hurts you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's always worried about you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. And when it comes to the believers, he's most compassionate, merciful. The scholars of tafsir have written that Allah is saying, when the Nabi of Allah looks at those from his ummah who are Muslims, he's kind and compassionate. The previous two sentences, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, that he worries about your condition, he's anxious over you, that is in reference to the non-Muslims from amongst his ummah. So a true leader is worried about those within his constituency that rebel against him also. Those who are difficult, that difficult child of yours. It's easy as a father to say, this is my boy. That one, I don't know. He fell on the wife's side of the family. You get parents like that. Allah blesses you with two sons, three sons. The one toes your line. Talks like you, eats like you, walks like you, makes mistakes like you, everything. And you're very happy. That's my boy. The other one, he got a little bit his own striyaka, you know. Ayya khadakhta. They say, no, that... But no, look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His concern was not over only those who accepted Islam, but even those who are not Muslim. So as a leader, you don't only worry about those who are compliant and subservient, even those who are rebellious. Moving into what we recited tonight, but on a similar theme, Allah talks about Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, and we know the wealth and the kingdom that they were granted, right? I got the name, but not the bank balance. So Allah says, وداود وسليمان إذ يحكمان في الحرث إذ نفشت فيه غنم القوم. It's a famous incident. There were two people. The one had livestock, the other one had crops. So the one's livestock went and destroyed the other one's crops. So they came to Dawood alayhi salam, who was a Nabi and he was a king. So Dawood alayhi salam said, look, the value of your crops is equal to the value of his livestock. So take his livestock in compensation for the crops that his livestock, through his negligence, destroyed. Now as they were moving and leaving, the decision was made, one man won, another man lost. And they met Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he asked them, what was the story? So they told him, he said, no, I got a better solution. So they said, what's it? He said, no, take his livestock, take the milk from it, eat the profits, let him replant all of the crops. Once he've restored it, then you give him his livestock back. Meaning he doesn't lose his capital. Ultimately, the capital comes back. So they go back to Dawood alayhi salam. Now for a moment, brothers, mothers, just imagine, you pass a decision in your business, and then your son says otherwise. What will you do? He's knock nuts. You're still wet behind the ears. You want to question my decision? You want to override my decision? You know how old was Sulaiman alayhi salam at that time? 13 years old. He was 13 years old. His father said, what? Your solution is better than mine. I rescind my own decision. Dawood alayhi salam's decision was not wrong. It was a decision. Sulaiman alayhi salam did a mediation. In a mediation, both parties have to agree, but then there's a win-win solution. You take his livestock, you keep it until he's restored your crops, then you give the livestock back. Both of you happy, we both happy. Both of them leave with a smile. Always try to mediate, not arbitrate. Because arbitration, you make a decision. One man is right, one man is wrong. But look at the broad-mindedness of Dawood alayhi salam. Listen, even if it's my 13-year-old kid, but if his opinion is better than my opinion, then I'm the first to withdraw my opinion. How many of us got that degree of humility or that degree of maturity? Surah Anbiya is what we recited tonight in Taraweeh Salah. And Allah talks about various Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam in the surah. Allah talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam in great detail. Allah talks about Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, as I've indicated. Allah talks about Ayyub alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Yunus alayhi salam, Zakaria alayhi salam. And last, Allah makes reference to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but in only one sentence. All the other anbiya, Allah goes into detail. But what Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That's the long and short of it. I have sent you but as a mercy unto the entire universe. I don't need to say more as an introduction to my beloved. I don't need to say more as an introduction to my beloved. You and I, we can make wah wah when we hear this. But we need to ask ourselves the question, to what extent do we live a life where we are a means of mercy to others? To what extent do we live a life where we are a means of mercy to others? 2 points and I conclude. Towards the end of the 17th juz, Allah says, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. O people, I'm giving you an example. Listen attentively. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَن يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Allah addresses the idol worshippers. He says, you know these idols you worship? The weakest of my creation, which is a mosquito, if all of your idols come together, they can't create one mosquito. وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ. Forget create a mosquito. You put food for your idols. If the mosquito comes and picks from that food, they can't do nothing. So what kind of idols do you worship? Now you and I, we listen to this and we laugh because it's obviously illogical what the idol worshippers do. But they worship idols on the level of belief. You and I, we worship idols on the level of practice. We worship our desires. We worship the dictates of the devil. We worship the temptations of the day. Like Allah says in Surah Yasin, on the day of Qiyamah, people will say, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ لَا لِمَتْ أَلَمْ أَعَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Why did you worship Shaitan? Worship meaning you followed him. So like those people needed to break their idols of belief, you and I, we need to break our idols of practice. We're not worshipping Allah because we're not compliant to the commands of Allah. We're following the dictates of everything and everyone else. The sports stars, the movie stars, the dominant trend, the dominant culture of the day has become our idol. So like those idol worshippers had to break those idols, we need to break these idols. My concluding thoughts with you this evening, the opening verses of Surah Mu'minun, Allah talks about the qualities of the successful believers. I want to touch on one and conclude. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. What's the very first quality of theirs? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have khushu in their salah. There is a lengthy discussion that the Mufassirin go into as to what's the meaning of khushu. But in summary, khushu means that not only must your body be in salah, your heart must be in salah as well. Brothers, it's the month of Ramadan. If there's one thing you can fix in this month that you should fix is your salah. If you're not punctual with your salah, become punctual with your salah because your success revolves around that. If you're punctual with your salah but not in congregation, then step up and become punctual with salah in congregation. And if you are performing salah in congregation, it's time you improve the quality of your salah by putting your heart and soul into that salah. When Sahaba used to read salah, even if an arrow pierced their body, it never disturbed their thoughts. One Sahabi was performing salah in a newly bought garden. And when he was performing salah, one bird flew and it distracted him momentarily. As soon as he made salam, he said, oh Allah, this garden is distracting me in salah. I'm giving it in charity. I'm giving it in charity. If you and I have to give everything in charity which distracts us in salah, we'll have nothing. We'll have absolutely nothing. So let me conclude by saying, let's take one resolution tonight that before Ramadan concludes this year, I need to fix my salah. May Allah grant us all the understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Until next Friday, inshallah.